LSAT students, tutors, and others interested in the LSAT. Clay Daniel, LSAT Director at Claiborne Education. Here I want to talk about some dramatic changes that are coming to the LSAT very soon. In fact, this summer, there's been a press release from the LSAC CEO, I should say, the aptly named Kelly Testy, that just cracks me up. You can't make this stuff up. Her name really is Kelly Testy. So this summer, the LSAT is going digital. In fact, the final version is, the full digital version is coming in with the September administration of the test. What this means is that the last time you are guaranteed to be able to take the paper test is going to be this June of 2019. So what about July, you might be wondering? Well, that's interesting how LSAC is handling the transition from paper to digital. Of course, they need some further data. They need some testing on how the transition from paper to digital is going to affect students. So here's how they're doing it in July. They are going to randomly select from among the July registrants some students to take the digital LSAT on tablet and others to take it on paper. From all we can tell, July registrants will have no control of that reality. You simply sign up and you don't know until test day which you are going to take. So, talk about that more in a moment, but a few more details about the transition to digital. As I mentioned, the digital, unlike the GRE and the GMAT, the digital administration of the test will be on tablet. That's the way that students will interact with the test. One advantage that we don't see with the GMAT and the GRE is that there will be a highlighting feature. Because it's on tablet, you can use your finger, that will be enabled. You'll still be able to highlight in that way. It's still, no doubt, a bit cumbersome, but that is a feature unavailable on other computer-based tests that graduate students or students applying to graduate school often take. Some other accommodations that LSAC is making. Of course, they're going to release and have already released some of the free materials for practice online and practice via a tablet so that students can prepare for the digital test. In addition, they're going to allow you to cancel your July scores after you see the score rather than the usual ruling, which is before. That is to say, you can see the score and then decide to cancel. For most LSATs, you have to cancel before the score is released. Another perk, or a SOP you might say, to ease the transition is a free redo of the LSAT. If you take the July LSAT, you have the digital version, and you're not pleased with how it goes, you can redo for free up through April 2020. And then finally, LSAC is also increasing the number of LSATs. They had already done so, from 4 to 6 per year, but in the roughly academic year from June 2019 to April 2020, there will now be 9 LSAT administrations. So there are several advantages that are coming out of this, and you can imagine why. This is a pretty significant and disruptive change. And bottom line, you know, always as we do looking at it from the test taker's point of view, the advantages and disadvantages to them, it's hard to see how this is a good thing. When you think of the implications of not being able to use a pencil to underline, to circle, even a highlighter on paper, to still be able to diagram logic games, but only via interaction with a tablet and your finger. Technology is simply not advanced to the point that this is going to avoid being cumbersome. So, what do we recommend for our students? I think the first thing to keep in mind, and then really the first major implication, is that if at all possible, you shouldn't take the test in July. LSAC is positioning themselves for a new world in which the GRE is increasingly competing with the LSAT. That's what's behind this digital move, but there's no getting around the awkwardness and the arguable unfairness of the way that the July test is being handled. Having to prepare for two modalities, both paper and digital, is simply not ideal. So you will likely find yourself in one of two camps if you're interacting with this video. Some of you will, in your timeline, have an opportunity to still prepare for June. As I record this video, it's still relatively early in February. We recommend a 3 to 6 month window for preparing for the LSAT. So there's still time. And I would say to you, if you are even considering the June LSAT, to pull out all the stops to make that possible. There is no question in my mind that it is to your advantage to take the last paper LSAT if you can. If for some reason June is too soon and July is possible, you may want to risk it for the opportunity to still take a paper LSAT. Again, though, not recommended. So some of you with a more upfront timeline, it's really time to go all out for June. Whatever you can do with other demands in your schedule, in your academic calendar, in your professional calendar, whatever you can rearrange to make the June LSAT possible, I urge you in the strongest possible terms to do so. For others, that's simply not in your timeline. Perhaps you're not graduating for another year or two or more. You're not planning on law school for a while now. Now, keep in mind, LSAT scores are good for 5 years. So even if you're not planning on law school right away, you really should still consider June. But let's assume that the circumstances of your life simply preclude that. In that case, a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, we're recommending skipping July. Just go for September 2019 or later and accustom yourself to the new tablet-based modality of the LSAT. But another interesting outcome of this is that you may want to consider the GRE. The GRE is increasingly being considered by law schools. The number is up now in the 40s of law schools that are considering that, including several of the top 14 law schools are accepting the GRE, notably Harvard, and several others at the top of the list. The GRE is objectively, I would say, easier than the LSAT. Now, there might be exceptions to that. If you really hate math, I don't think the GRE is the test for you. There is no math on the LSAT unless you want to call the logic games mathematical, which in a certain way they are. The GRE is half quantitative. Another aspect of the GRE that's not on the LSAT is a heavy dose of vocabulary. If you don't consider that your strength and you don't particularly want to study hundreds of vocabulary words, you may want to stay away from the GRE. If those two caveats don't apply to you, though, content-wise, you are likely to find the GRE easier to prepare for. On average, it takes our students from a third to a half of the time total to prepare for the GRE as it does for the LSAT. So it's a very real consideration for you. However, a couple of caveats about the GRE. As I mentioned, it is only about 40 or so law schools, 40 to 50, that are accepting the GRE now. There's no guarantee that number will grow substantially. There's still some uncertainty around how the ABA is going to handle the GRE acceptance for law school long term. And anytime there's kind of a new player on the block, this happened when the GRE began to be accepted at business schools, there's going to be a period of time where the older, more established test is still going to be preferred. And you have to distinguish here between what law schools will say explicitly in their materials and what implicit leanings there might be toward the old test. If you look at the LSAT and the GRE, there's simply no question that the LSAT tests the kind of cognitive skills that reward you in law school much more than the GRE does. Even though the math portion of the GRE is logical in nature, so there is some connection, there's no way to defend a case that knowing the Pythagorean theorem has any relevance to law school. So whatever studies might say, common sense suggests that the LSAT is always going to be more predictive, and you have to anticipate the way that law schools are going to reckon with that. How esteemed is a high LSAT score going to be compared to a high GRE score? It seems fairly evident that a high LSAT score is going to be more esteemed. So it's important to consider the value of a high LSAT score. One more thing to keep in mind is that that LSAT score becomes much more valuable if your GPA is under the median of the law schools you're looking at. Remember that law school admissions is very quantitative. Unless you have, you know, other advantages to admissions that are more on the subjective, intangible side, you absolutely need to be above the median for at least one of the two quantitative categories, either GPA or LSAT/GRE. That is to say, when you look at the law schools you're interested in, look at their median GPAs, their median LSAT, and as these statistics come out, their median GRE. And if your GPA is not and or will not be at their median, you absolutely need to be above that median on the test side. If that's the case for you, it's likely that the LSAT is still going to be a better test. In terms of how compelling that is for admissions, that's probably going to be the way to go. A high LSAT score above the median for what a school is looking for can often be more sought after, more hard to find from the point of view of an admissions committee. So, given that, the reverse is probably true. If you're in great shape with your GPA, if it's above the median for all the schools you're looking at, you may be an ideal candidate for the GRE. It's going to be more streamlined. It won't take as much time to prepare. And if the law schools you're looking at accept the GRE, it's a very real consideration for you. Circling back to the purpose of this video and the change in the LSAT, you have to keep in mind that now the LSAT has less distinctiveness with respect to the GRE. Now that it's going to be digital, there's less of an advantage inherent in it. Being able to highlight on a tablet is hardly sufficient reason for opting for the LSAT over the GRE. So we recommend that you consider the GRE within kind of the criteria that I've laid out here. So to sum up, LSAT going digital in transition in July and then all the way in September. Take it by June if you possibly can. After that, consider the GRE, weigh it carefully over against the LSAT. Consider in which category you fall and which is going to be the better test for you. And ultimately, we can help you think about that. We can talk about this further, look at your background, the schools that you're looking at, and counsel you as to the best path to go. So please contact us at Claiborne. I would love to talk to you and help you kind of suss out the best path for your future regarding testing in advance of law school. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this video has been helpful to you as you consider what the changes in the LSAT mean to you.
Thank you for listening to the Claiborne Podcast. If you'd like more helpful info about test prep and tutoring services, including our online options, go to claiborne.com/contact to get started.